In a world of uncertainty, one thing is for sure. Cancer doesn't stop during a global crisis. On Saturday, June 13th, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society will host a trailblazing event, Big Virtual Climb, sponsored by AbbVie, to sponsor their investment in groundbreaking research to advance blood cancer cures and its first-in-class patient education and services, including financial support and clinical trial navigation. Step up to take cancer down by climbing 61 floors or 1,762 steps, inside or outside, on stairs, on the road, or your treadmill. Climb your way. Join us for an opening ceremony and then take on your climb with our heart-pumping playlist. Join us on June 13th from coast to coast as we come together to climb, conquer, cure. Register at lls.org/bigclimb. Everyone, and welcome to Point Breakaway, the podcast about the Ducks, Kings, anything else that comes to mind. I am Josh Cooper in Los Angeles, California. He is Shane O'Brien in Orange County. And Obi, how are you?
Coop, what's up, buddy? I'm doing well. I hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. Mine was good, very long, so I got my cold brew going here with my hazelnut cream in it, and I'm not 100%, but it was a great weekend, and I'm excited to be here talking to you, buddy.
Yeah, I just honestly started hearing my son crying in the background, so I'm not totally sure what's going on down there, but I know he's being taken care of, so this is the joy of quarantine right now. So I apologize for the pause, but that doesn't damper my excitement, even though I am kind of concerned about what's going on with him, but it does not damper my excitement for our guest, who is seriously a living legend, Obes, and thank you so much for getting him on our podcast. Hockey Hall of Famer, Stanley Cup champion, Norris Trophy, Hart Trophy winner, current Florida Panthers senior advisor to the head of hockey operations. This is Chris Pronger joining Point Breakaway, the biggest guest we've ever had on our show. Chris, thank you so much for joining Point Breakaway. We really, truly appreciate it and are honored to be in your digital presence.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And that's a wonderful introduction. You want to open for my next speaking engagement?
What's your fee?
What's up, Prongs? It's Obes. I really appreciate you coming on. And I, by the way, that was Josh Cooper's best intro of the season by far. And I think this is like our 42nd podcast. So he really brought it for you. Good job on that one, Coop.
Yeah, well done, Josh.
I'm so excited about this. I mean, okay, so when we had Shea Weber on, I woke up at 5:30 because I was so pumped. When we had Ryan Whitney on, I woke up at 5. I was so pumped. This was a 4:30 a.m. wake up for me.
And Obi slept in and just dusted himself off.
I did. I woke up about an hour ago, Prongs. I got to be honest with you.
It was a holiday weekend.
It was a holiday weekend, and I can't do it like I used to, Prong. So you know how that goes.
Tell me about it.
Oof. Hey, Prong, Josh kind of led me into my first question here. I was with Loophole and Upshaw this weekend, and we were kind of talking about you, and we all had the question, you know, what exactly is a senior advisor? What is your job? What does that entail? Do you just go in there and drink coffee with the boys and shoot the shit, or what is a senior advisor?
I'm kind of the little birdie on Dale's shoulder. I pro scout, I amateur scout, I track our team. I reach out to my contacts throughout the league and seeing what's going on, through my network. And obviously Dale's obviously well-respected and been around the game a long time and has his resources. So, really just trying to find out what's going on around the league, advise him on what I'm seeing and what I think our team may or may not need, and all things of that nature. I mean, it's a pretty generic title, but I mean, it really is. I mean, senior advisor to Hockey Ops. I mean, it kind of runs the gamut. I mean, really the only thing that I don't do are contracts.
Okay. All right. I mean, I think the title suits you well, Prongs. I think you do it. It suits you real nice. Senior advisor, Hockey Ops. I like it.
Oh, well, I'm glad I got your blessing. Thank you.
So may I call you Prongs? Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Joshy?
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, wow. Oh, man, Joshy. Here we go. Obi.
Here we go.
Is that my hockey nickname now? I've just been ordained Joshy by a Hall of Famer.
Joshy. Let's do it.
Oh, I'm screwed. Oh,
yeah, whatever Prongs calls you, Coop, whatever Prong calls you, just go with it, buddy. You just go with it.
All right. Well, here we go. I'm Joshy forever now. I'm just curious. So, you worked for Department of Player Safety for a while. Like, that's been the cradle of almost, or incubator, if you will, of management positions. You got Shanahan, Blakey. I know I'm forgetting, probably one or two people here. But, what did you learn there? Because when I saw people joining that role, I'm like, that kind of seems like a bit of a destination role for me. I thought it was a good job. But then you all got better jobs, basically.
Well, I think it's one, you learn the business side, coming out of playing and going into that role, you learn the business side much more intimately. You're at the Board of Governors meetings, you're at the general managers meetings, you're on a lot of email chains that kind of walk you through the full business side of the National Hockey League, and you're able to kind of learn, go from being a player to then learning that business side and all that goes into it. Because when you're playing, you're really not paying attention to that side of it. I mean, you're focused on playing and winning and doing your job. And I mean, there's a lot of back office stuff and intercommunication stuff that's going on, I was there when the bye week was set up and the negotiation that took place to get the format for the All-Star game changed and what they had to give and on and on and on. So I was there for all that. And, I think you kind of see the horse trading that goes on to get the PA to do something and the league to get something that they want and on and on and on. So it was, you get to see a lot of facets of the game and of the league, while also, especially in that job, you're watching hockey every single night. And you're not necessarily watching players and scouting, but you're seeing the overarching league play out on a year-to-year basis, tracking trends, in certain times of the year, there's downtimes with respect to supplementary discipline. So you're tracking trends and you're following the league and seeing where it's headed and the changes that are being made and how that's affecting the game, thus affecting how the game is played and which players and styles of play are going to be best suited, not only in the years to come, but in the future, when perhaps you get a different job or you move up in your role or what have you. So, I think just you're immersed in so much within the league, from as I said, from marketing to the business side with the teams and how all that gets played out and the dynamic there. And you're really at the 1,000-foot level looking down on everything, and you get a better understanding of how the league operates.
Well, Prongs, that kind of leads me into my next question here. And then I was on with this guy last week on Sports Central at noon in Toronto with Brian Burke, and I love Berkey, and I know you had a great relationship with him. Just explain to our listeners and our Ducks listeners out here what he means to you and how it all came together and just what you think of Berkey.
Yeah, well, so Berkey drafted me in Hartford in 1993, so I obviously go back a long ways with him. He was, when you think about it, he was late 30s, mid to late 30s as the general manager of a hockey team. So back then, that was pretty young for that era to be a GM. And then he moved while I was in the middle of negotiating my rookie contract. He took the job as head of hockey operations with the NHL. And, so then our paths crossed a few times when I was suspended. It was merely an accident.
Not you, Prongs.
It was merely an accident, and I don't know what happened. It was not my fault. But having said that, then, as we all know, the league is small, and he then takes a job in Vancouver, and, how everything plays out there. Then he gets the job in in Anaheim, and obviously I was in Edmonton his first year there, and I think got a chance to play against him in the playoffs when I was in Edmonton, and liked the style of play obviously that Randy and Berkey liked to play down there, and I think there was a lot of conversations that they were going to try to trade for me when I'd asked for a trade out of Edmonton. I talked to Berkey a couple times that he was trying to make the trade happen. He had tagging room issues, so they had agreed to the deal. And then I was like, oh, I told my wife, yeah, we just got traded in Anaheim. And then I got a call back. Oh, no, sorry, we can't do it now. We've got tagging issues. So then the cap came into play, and we're like, oh, my God, what is going on? So there was, obviously been through a lot with Berkey and then winning a cup and all the rest of that. And then he leaves and heads to Toronto to the Big Apple. And, hockey Mecca, if you will, for those that are from Toronto.
Exactly. So well said.
Yeah. Everybody in Toronto likes to think it's all about Toronto and the Leafs. But, I worked with his son at the Department of Player Safety. So there's, I go back a long ways with Berkey and his family and his kids and all that. So, he's been a great friend for a long time.
Yeah, and I got to thank you and Berkey because of that trade. It opened up a sixth defenseman spot in Anaheim that year, which all they needed was a defenseman to play about 8 to 10 minutes because you and Norm never came off the ice. So 8 to 10 minutes was perfect for me. I go out there getting a little tilt, head to Newport. So I got to thank you and Berkey for that because that was my opportunity to get in the league. So I appreciate it.
Hey, and you did it well. Oops.
Thank you. So Prongs, it leads me. I've had Getzy on, I've had Penner on, I've had Sean Thornton on, and we always talk about that team and the start we got off to. And the thing that I talk about is our dressing room. Like, I'll be honest, when I first made the team and I walked in and met you, man, I couldn't have been more intimidated about you. Like, I was like, fuck, that's Chris Pronger. I've watched you my whole career, looked up to you. But man, in all honesty, Prongs, like, our dressing room, we had such a good feel of veteran guys and young guys, and I bring it up all the time. So just explain to our Ducks fans out there who have been fans forever what it felt like for you being a superstar veteran guy in that dressing room and how it felt day in and day out.
Well, I think the nice part about our group, as you said, we had a great mix of young and old, that tweener guy in the middle. So we had that youthful energy and the veteran presence. We had star power with Scotty and Tamu and myself. We had guys that were at the top. We had guys that were working their way up to the top in Getzy and Paris. So I just think you look at the group and we had so many different dynamics. You've got Scotty, the quiet leader. You got Tamu, the Finnish flash and everything that he brought to the table. And then me, me. And then you got Todd Marchant, sitting in the corner with the youngsters everything that all that kind of entailed in our little hot corner over there.
It was a hot corner. I loved it over there.
It was some good chats over there.
hey Bronx, no one was safe over there. No one was safe.
No, it's there's no such thing as hard feelings. There's no such thing as feelings. You're going to, if you want to step into the fire and are lucky enough to be put there by the trainers, you better be ready to participate in some good shtick.
Exactly.
What was it like playing on a team that was just, it looked, just watching you guys were like unbeatable, basically. I mean, and I'm not saying that to flatter you, Prongs, but like, I mean, when you can put you and Niedermeyer on the ice for as long as you're able to put you guys on, like, I mean, like, you can't, they can't score on you. I mean, it was insane.
Well, I think the nice thing and the great thing about that team and why I think it stacks up against a lot of these all-time teams that people are talking about, we could play any way you wanted. We could play the tough game. We could play the finesse game. We could play the run and gun game. We could play the tight checking game. I mean, it just, we could play any way you wanted to, and be very successful in doing so. So it was a fun team to play on because of that, because just, you know, we'd kind of just wait to see how the game would kind of evolve and then kind of run with it.
Yeah, exactly, Prongs. We could play it every which way. And Prongs, a question I get a lot about, you know, playing with you and Scotty and, you know, the difference between you and all that stuff. And obviously there's lots of difference, lots of similarities. And the one question I've always thought and wanted to ask you was, you know, what impressed you, what about Norm impressed you the most? Like when you looked at him on a day-to-day basis, you know, you were an elite, one of the best defensemen ever. When you looked at him, what were you like, wow, that impresses me kind of thing?
Well, I mean, first and foremost is his skating. I mean, it's second to none. And the fact that the guy does not get tired.
Yeah. I mean, or he doesn't sweat. And he doesn't sweat either, Prongs. That's what impressed me.
He doesn't sweat. He doesn't get tired. Like, I remember in 2002 in Salt Lake, we're in elevation. And the guy, I was supposed to go out with my partner. So he was out on the ice with his partner. His partner changed. I had Scotty. So my partner went out, and then that guy came off, and the next guy went out, and I'm still waiting, and I'm watching him. I mean, he's not even looking tired. He's not. He was out there for like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, and I'm, you know, he's like, oh shit, I wasn't really paying attention to the time, and then he changes, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I just took your shift. I'm like, no, feel free. If you can do it. He wasn't even sweating. He wasn't even breathing hard. I'm like, I was out there 25 minutes. I'm like, I got to change. Effortless. You know, I think the biggest thing with him is effortless, just practice. Yeah. And, you know, I think for us too, you know, the really good teams that I've been on is how we practiced and how hard we competed against one another. You know, the trash talking and trying to beat one another and all that stuff. You know, I think you watch The Last Dance with Michael Jordan and you see how competitive he was. And I think when you look at elite athletes and guys that are near the top of the league in their performance, they have that drive and that competitive nature and that will to win. And, you know, going against Temu every day or practicing against Scotty or whatever, you're always trying to one up that guy or always trying to do better or shut down Getsy and Paris just to piss them off or, you know, try to get their goat and really get underneath their skin and drive them nuts. And it, you know, you get the chirping and practice and stuff. And every once in a while, they might get you. And that's when it is your wake up call and you got to push a little harder.
Yeah. And Prongs, I'm glad you bring that up, buddy, because I watched The Last Dance. It was unbelievable, obviously. And I had a question last weekend in Vancouver. They asked me anyone you played with that would, you know, you think like Michael Jordan, and you came up, to be honest, buddy. I was like, you know what? It was kind of like how Prongs was, you know, before practice, you know, you get a little chuckle out of him. Then he goes in his gym, he does his stuff, he loosens up. Then practice starts and he's chirping out there, but he's focused. And then after practice, I mean, you had more fun than anyone. You chirp guys, you're laughing. So do you feel like you had that kind of comparison to MJ where when it was time to play and time to practice, you're focused, but afterwards you could have a good time and enjoy the boys as well?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously not to his level, but, you know, I think you have to have, you know, the one line in that whole thing that stood out to me is if you haven't won and you haven't been in his shoes in the sense that if you don't win, it's your fault. Nobody's looking at Joe DePenta and saying it's your fault. No, but I mean, not to be rude.
No,
but
no.
Nobody's looking at
no,
him,
no.
You know, and I had to, my whole tenure in St. Louis and then on into, you know, Edmonton, Anaheim, Philly. When you don't win, people are looking at you. What, you didn't do your job. You didn't help the team win. And they're not looking at the fourth line player. They're not looking at the seventh defenseman. They're looking at you saying, okay, as one of the leaders, as, you know, one of the best players, as one of the, you didn't do your job. And having gone through it, you know, you learn to be like, okay, I need to push my teammates harder because I have a certain standard that I'm held to. And more importantly, I hold myself to a certain standard. And in order to achieve that in a team sport, much like we saw with The Last Dance, you've got to push your teammates in practice to be better. And there are times when you get the flashing green light and the young guys can go out and have a good time. And, you know, it's, you know, and you heard us talk. All right, Getsy, Paris, Old Pens. All right, this is a green light. You guys get to go. Run hard. Yeah. Have fun. And yeah, then exactly. There's times where you're like, hey, you guys, this is an important stretch. Be focused. Be prepared. Come to work. Be ready to go because it's time to put the work boots on. And, you know, I think having gone through the early, you know, the early booings, hate letters, media scrutiny, on and on, I think early on in my career, I think, A, it hardens you up and toughens you up. But B, you figure out exactly how you have to prepare, how dedicated you need to be to A, get to the top, B, stay there, and then C, win. Because it's such a fine line between winning and losing when you're at the top and playing against the best players in the world. Because they want to win too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's funny, Prong. You mentioned greatness. You talk about The Last Dance. When I think of greatness in general, I think of your Hall of Fame class. You had Phil Housley, on the NHL side, at least NHL players. You had Phil Housley, Sergei Fedorov, Nick Lidstrom, yourself, women's hockey player Angela Ruggiero, who is just awesome. I mean, someone asked me who I would build my team around on a forward and D. I mean, obviously, there's only one forward in that class, but... I mean, I mentioned you ahead of Lidstrom overall just because of your game and how you're able to adapt. I know Nick has the Norris trophies, but I mean, what do you think of that class in general? And how do you think your game just stacks up to the all-time greats because it was so adaptable to so many different types of ways the game is played?
Yeah, I think as it relates to my game and kind of, I remember hearing this after the 04-05 lockout. Oh, my God, he's going to be a dinosaur. He's never going to be able to play. The rules are just, oh, my God. And I'm like, okay, well, again, it's like that little break. Okay, we'll see. All right. And then we go to Edmonton, and we go on that run and do what we do. And if anything, in my mind, it was going to free me up to be able to do more. Because I wasn't going to have a 250-pounder draped all over me for 35 minutes, lugging a guy around the ice. I was going to be fresher, which in turn I was. So I wasn't getting as tired throughout the course of the season. And I was going to have more for the playoffs and be fresher. You know, and I think, you know, I was talking to somebody at an event here during the All-Star game, and they were asking about, well, you know, would you be able to play in today's game? I'm like, yeah. Why wouldn't I? Well, you know, you played a certain way. I go, well, yeah, but I played a certain way in junior, and then I remade it a little bit for the NHL. And then after 3 or 4 years, I remade it again. And you keep adapting and changing to the current situation you're in and the current style of play as the league evolves. You need to continue to get better and add to your game and, you know, continue tweaking your body and working on different things. And, you know, I just continued to evolve and change my game a little bit. I mean, I still had my core, you know, passing, physical play, all the rest of that, but you got to work on quick feet. One of the things that I did when I got to Anaheim was I worked on my feet a little bit more. In the summers when I was training, I never used to do quick feet drills. I just used to try to bulk up and get stronger and do all that stuff. Well, as the game changed, you got to change how you train. And I did more quick feet stuff. I did more things that were going to allow me to be more mobile and be able to keep up with the ever-changing speed of the game.
This is awesome, Chris, and you know, it's so interesting to hear you talk. You know, we're going to have more with Chris in a minute, but first we have to take a word from our sponsor, Hawthorne. So please listen to a word from our sponsor. Are you still wearing that old polo blue cologne from high school? Do you wear Old Spice and people think you smell like their dads? Well, smelling good is important, like really important, and Hawthorne cologne smells really good. And getting Hawthorne cologne is so easy. Take a quick 2-minute quiz and Hawthorne tells you the 2 colognes that are best for you. One for work and one for play. It's totally risk-free with free shipping and free returns. Father's Day is coming up and it is the perfect gift for dad. So check out Hawthorne at hawthorne.co. That's Hawthorne with an E and .co, not .com, hawthorne.co. And use the promo code ATHLETIC to get 10% off your first purchase. That's hawthorne.co and use my promo code ATHLETIC to get 10% off your first purchase. Hawthorne.co. Back with Chris Pronger and Shane O'Brien. I'm Josh Cooper on Point Breakaway. And so, Chris, I did have a question for you. You mentioned just all the skills and everything that you had to do to try to be a modern-day defenseman in this era. I look at the Norris Trophy in recent years. Best all-around defenseman is how it's defined. We've had Erik Karlsson, has had two. Drew Doughty only has one. My guy, Shea Weber, has zero. Brent Burns has one. What do you think of this trophy and how it's been defined in recent years? Because to be perfectly honest, Shea Weber should have, in my opinion, at least two. I think you should have more than one. What's your take on all this?
A lot of the awards are popularity contests. And they are.
I agree. I'm telling you they are because they are.
Because the media votes on a number of them, and if they don't like you, they're not going to vote for you. That's just a fact. And, you know, they value certain metrics that others don't. And points, at the end of the day, half the time, they're not watching the game. They're writing their stories or they're doing whatever, and they look at the stat sheet and they go, oh, your guy had 3 points. Oh, he had a great game. Could have been -4 and served up 4 pizzas, but he had 3 points, so he had a good game. So a lot of that, and to be honest, the first half of the season, for the most part, doesn't matter in the voting. It does not matter. They only really care about the last half. How first half after Christmas is when they really, they're looking at it, but they're not evaluating the first 20 games and the second 20 games the same way they are with the last 40. They're just not. Is it fair? No, but that's just, in my opinion, that's the way they do it. What they should do, because it's supposed to be a best year or, you know, overall award, take quarterly, do voting quarterly so that the right players are getting voted on properly. If Victor Hedman is not having a good start to his year, he might have zero votes. And then, oh, he gets hot and he plays, you know, and the team gets hot and he plays on a good team and he starts getting lots of points and he starts passing it over to Kucherov, who gives it to Stamkos, and they score. Like, I mean, why? He just got a point, but we're going to give him the Norris because why? Because he gave it to Kucherov? You know, there's a lot of ways to look at it, and there's no right or wrong way. I as you said, it is the best overall defenseman, and I've heard people say, well, we should create an offensive defenseman and a defensive defenseman. If you were to do that, how do you define a defensive defenseman? Are you going to give that to Rob Scuderi or like Dan Hanhus, or like, how do you define, somehow points or plus minus or something's going to play into that? You know, there's going to be some scoring metric that ultimately plays into that as well. How about we just say, can the guy play defense? Like Erik Karlsson, can he defend? Yeah, the one exactly. Year I thought he defended better than the other year, Brent Burns. Okay, he got 30 goals and 35 goals and he had 80 points, whatever. Okay, great. But can he defend? How did he do? How was in his own end? How is he doing? You know, sometimes good, sometimes. Is he dedicated? You know, Byfuglien the 1 year was, you know, I think fairly high in the voting. Is he committed to playing defense? Or are we just looking at him as a big guy that rushes the puck and is essentially a right winger but playing defense? Like, you know, there's no right or wrong, but there needs to be some clear criteria as to what you're voting for, as opposed to just throwing it in a blender and say, oh, here you go. Like I was, how's this for you? Here's a perfect example. I was fourth in Norris Trophy voting. Fourth in Norris Trophy voting one year. Actually, the year I was in Edmonton. Fourth in Norris Trophy voting, and I was not on the second All-Star team.
Huh.
So how does that work? How can you be fourth? How can
I think you pissed I think you pissed a couple too many people off maybe that year, Fox, or something, you know, eh?
Sorry for making you ask good questions.
Sorry for making you earn your paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, I have to earn mine. Why can't you earn yours?
Hey, by the way, that's great. I remember some of your interviews in Edmonton, and they were just epic. Like, you had these reporters just shitting their pants. They didn't know what to do, Prongs.
Oh, God. It was so fun.
Hey, Prongs, it leads me to one question, buddy. And I mean, I used to love watching you play. And, you know, like, the first thing I learned from you is the way you passed the puck in practice and how you protected the blue paint. But the one thing I always thought as my career went on and, you know, I try to do a little bit of stuff like you. Like, you know, I like to play hard in front of the net, but was there one ref, and I used to love actually the way you talked to the refs, because you wouldn't really necessarily yell at them. You would talk to them. You could see they would respect you. But was there one ref throughout your career where you're like getting ready, you're like, fuck, I'm in one tonight because so-and-so is reffing, and you maybe had to change your style of play, or did it not matter who was reffing on a game?
I didn't really you know, I think, you know, because when I came in a league, there was a lot of the old guard and a lot of the older referees were there in the beginning. I had to earn my stripes and I had to, you know, I take a lot of shit from them the first few years. Like, you see these guys telling other players to F off. I mean, I got told F off a lot. I mean, you know, get away from me, rookie. And, you know, all the stuff that you hear. I mean, you got to earn your stripes. You got to earn the respect of the referees. And, you know, I think as my career went along, I garnered more respect from them. I treated them differently. I wasn't just, oh my God, you freaking suck. What are you? Yeah. God, you're brutal. You know, and as, you know, you form a relationship with them, as I'm cross-checking a guy in front of the net trying to clear the front, you know, you're the ref is talking to you like, you're getting too high, not so hard, you know, and you're just kind of tailoring it to what he will and won't call. And
yeah,
you know, exactly. You have to have that relationship with them though. And you know, I think because early, you know, early in my career there was no rules, it was you could do whatever you wanted. I think that, you know, you form that, they see that that's the way you play, they know that that's the way that you play, and you've played like that your whole career, and then they, you know, you have, they have, you have that mutual respect where they can talk to you. And lots of times stuff happens on the ice and it's like, hey, did you get him there? I'm like, yeah. All right. I missed it.
Yeah.
Oh, you missed it again. Yeah, you're right.
No, but Prongs,
I got it by you again.
I learned my lesson the hard way, Prongs. One night at MSG, old Billy McCreary was reffing and he called me for a little chintzy hold early, and I lost my mind, Prongs. I just started yelling at him like, you fucking suck, blah, blah, this and that. Needless to say, Prongs, Billy McCreary called me for four minors that night, and thank God we somehow won the game. I was with Vancouver, and we won the game in overtime, but after the game, he's just like, hey, kid, you learned your lesson? I'm like, yeah, Billy, I learned my lesson, but fuck, did you have to call four on me? I would have learned my lesson after the second one, like, but just to go with what you said, and then after that game, I kind of looked back to, like, how you talked to the refs. So I was like, fuck, Prongs would have lost his mind like that, so it was about building relationships, and I learned that from you kind of thing.
Well, and I had to learn it too, the hard way, like you're saying, where you just, you know, whether, you know, back when I was first started, obviously you go to the bar. I mean, you got the other team there, you got the refs there, you got, you know, everybody just kind of hanging out. You start talking to the refs, you start, you know, picking their brains on stuff. And, you know, you're just talking hockey and talking about the game and talking with the other team, you know, just, you know, that's just how it was. So you're able to form those relationships and that bond with a guy where you can have a, you know, saddle up next to him before a face-off, be like, hey, listen, this is what's going on. I'm going to have to do something about it if you aren't. And you know, I don't know if it's my stick's going to be in half or not, but I might have to force your hand here. So you have that relationship with him and it's, you know, they understand and they get it. And, you know, it's sometimes it's a good way to get their attention on something that, you know, they may be watching something else or looking for something else.
Prongs, one of the guys who's kind of established a cult following around the NHL as far as refs is Wes McCauley. Do you have any good Wes McCauley stories for us?
Yeah, you know, obviously the personality you see, and you know, he's a bit of a lunatic. He was,
he is a lunatic, Prongs. You're right, he is.
Funny, like I remember, when he came into the league, I remember his name, and I'm like, God, I know that name. Well, I start doing my research, and I'm thinking back. Well, God, I played junior against a guy. So I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, so, like, it goes back. Like, okay, I'm trying to think of this name, Wes McCauley. And I'm like, Junior B. And he went, you know, because then he went and played at Michigan State, whatever. And I'm like, oh, now I remember him. But, yeah, no, Wes is – I mean, those are the guys you want to, you know, he's having fun with it. He's entertaining. He's doing his stuff. But yeah, at the end of the day, you can talk to him. He's not taking it too serious. You know, I think sometimes you're – it just – It's an emotional game. The electricity in the building and the temperature rises and you're ready to blow and you're just like, ah, my God, and you scream at the ref. I mean, I'm like, would you rather me scream at you or break my stick over somebody's head? Like, what do you want me to do? So, you know, I think they get that too. But, you know, I think the guys that have been around a while understand kind of that mentality of allowing you to kind of let some steam off and not lose your marbles too much. But you got to get it out somewhere. And it's so funny. Like, I was talking to Tim Peel one night at the bar here in St. Louis. And
I love Peeler.
I'm like, Peelsy, I go, listen, I've had this conversation with a number of your cohorts. Let me just explain something to you. If I come up to you and I'm mad and I'm screaming, and you just say to me, I missed it. I didn't see it. What is my comeback? I don't have a comeback. I had a number of referees say, Chris, sorry, I missed it. I didn't see it. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, you're steaming mad. What the hell? Did you see that? He's like, nah, I didn't see it. I go, oh, okay. I mean, what do you say back to that? So yeah, I tell Peelsy this. I'm like, hey, you got to just like relax. If I'm yelling at you, just say I missed it, whatever. I mean, literally, I got him the next game. And, of course, he misses a call. And I friggin' lose it. I go, Peelsy, are you blind? You didn't see that? God damn it, what the hell? And he snaps on me. He's like, Prong, shut that up. What the hell? Da, 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 da. And now I've calmed down, and I look at him, and I go, oh, I see the conversation we had a couple days ago really took effect. Yeah. As he's losing it on me, screaming at me.
Yeah, I used to see Peeler out in Vancouver all the time. He's a great dude, but he can get fired up out there.
Yeah, they, you know, they're human too. Listen, they're going to make mistakes. I certainly wouldn't. I wouldn't want that job. I could tell you that.
No, and Prongs, you made a great point there. When they say to you, "Hey, Prongs, I didn't see it," like you said, like what can you truly say? Because they are human, right? If they make excuses to you and like, you know, you're a player, you know, if they're bullshit and you're like, "Fuck you," but when they say, "Hey, I missed it," you're like, "Okay, I get it. You missed it."
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So, Prong, so Coop, have you ever heard what a shoe check is, Josh?
Yeah. I do know what one is.
Okay, so listen. So, after I got past the intimidation factor of Prongs was really good to me. He had me over for Thanksgiving dinner. He had me over for Christmas dinner where I drank a whole ball of his Crown Royal. So, let's just say I was starting to feel pretty comfortable around Prongs, right? So we had
might say too comfortable.
Prongs would say too comfortable. So we're at Nick and Sam's in Dallas, and we're having a nice dinner, and Tamo's ordering two steaks, and the red wine's flowing, and the boys are feeling pretty good. So, you know, stupid Obi, I'm like, boys, I'm gonna try to shoe check Prongs. So they're all in on it, and I'm counting onto the table, and just before I go to put it on Prongs' shoe, he moves his foot, and Coop, he looks down and sees me, and most guys would maybe throw water on you or something, not Prongs. Prongs starts throwing two bombs at me. You remember that, Prongs?
I kicked you first.
He kicked me, then he started throwing two bombs.
I pushed my foot on you. is what I did.
Yeah, exactly. You pushed your foot on me, gave me a couple more punches. Then I got up. I'm like, oh, man, he's really pissed. So then in typical Prongs fashion for me to really learn my lesson, Coop, he goes to the waiter or waitress, says, send me the wine list. Remember that, Prongs?
Yep. I was a little parched after that.
And needless to say, the rookie tab went up a few thousand dollars after that. And Penner and Shannon were like, really, Obes? I was like, I apologize. But I learned my lesson there not to mess around with Prongs at the rookie dinners.
Well, some of the vets talked him into it. It wasn't smart.
I know the vet. I know. Everyone was in on it too. Shit.
Prongs, you seem to become sort of like this post-career renaissance man, so to speak. We mentioned Department of Player Safety. You're working with the Panthers. One thing I found really super interesting about you is your Instagram account. And just like how deeply thoughtful it is and how grammatically correct your posts are. Like, how do you explain your social media presence on Instagram and what it's, I mean, I know that you, it looks like you have a side business too, but I'm just really blown away by it.
Yeah, thanks. You know, I think number one, my mom was a teacher. So, you know, people may, you know, like a lot of people, they don't necessarily know you. They know your persona, if you will. They know, you know, how you play on the ice, and they think that's how you live your life off the ice. So I think, you know, adversity, I think another thing about The Last Dance and a lot of sports in general and really business, people think anybody who gets to the top, it was given to them. You know, a lot of people to this day, they don't believe you've ever been cut. They don't believe you've ever been fired. They don't believe. And it's the furthest thing from the truth for anybody to be at the top of their profession, whatever it is. I guarantee you there's been adversity. There's been gut check moments where there's a fork in the road. Am I going left or am I going right? What am I doing? And, you know, those moments where you got to make a decision as to what you're going to do and whether it's the right or the wrong decision, you make it and you move on and you keep going. And so I think for me, I try to instill in people, you know, it's a way for me to connect the fans and a way for me to, you know, help develop our business and grow our business. But it's also a way to explain to people and walk them through leadership, adversity, how mindset matters and how you can really control pressure moments and control when things feel the most chaotic, how to try to control things and slow it down. I think for me, when I played, that was probably one of the things that I was best at, was trying to slow everything down, just simplify it down to its core. And, you know, you get into overtime in a game five and, it's an important game and the pressure's high. What do you need to do? Most people want to make the hard play. Most people want to make the hardest possible play because their minds are racing and they're going too fast. And I, for whatever reason, slow it down and try to make the simplest decision, the simplest play, the simplest, and just slowly break it down methodically so that, you know, as other people get out of control and the chaos starts ensuing, you're able to kind of pick things apart and look for openings and holes that, whether it's sports or business or what have you, are present and available to take advantage of.
That's awesome. And listeners, follow this man on Instagram. It's seriously like one of the best decisions social media wise I've made recently.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. @TheChrisPronger, Obes. @TheChrisPronger.
He is a good follow, Coop. I will give you that. And yo, Coop, you brought it up, and Prongs, I just wanted to talk to you about the thing you're doing now, the Well Inspired Travels. What exactly is it for our listeners? And I know you're doing it with your wife. And you know, talking about your Instagram, you too look like you enjoy what you're doing, and just kind of explain to me and the listeners what exactly it is.
Yeah, so we're a boutique luxury travel travel consultancy business that, you know, is health and wellness focused, but, you know, we run the gamut and do everything. But, you know, we, our niche, I think, because of obviously my intimate knowledge of this, more importantly, is elite athletes, you know, business executives and like-minded individuals that I understand the demands on their time. We understand the pressures of their job and how that can affect decision-making, how that can affect lifestyle, how that can affect. And I think something for me that as we started to grow and build our business was really understanding the effect that travel can have on your life, travel can have on whether it's learning new cultures. You know, most people go away, they want to take something out of their travels now. They don't want to just, you know, you're going to go to Vegas, blow your doors off, have fun, blah, blah, blah. But you go on a, you know, like that's a given for most people. But, you know, you go on a well thought out trip to the Middle East and you go to these luxury 5-star resorts and you see the different cultures and you taste the different culinary styles and you, you know, from a mind, body, spirit perspective, see, you know, what they do on the wellness side and you see all these different styles of living, pardon me, and understand that you want to be able to take something home and incorporate it into your everyday life. And you want to be able to continually, you know, as I said earlier, continually learn and develop something new that's going to help you A, in your job and A, in life and B, in life, where you're improving, you know, whether it's you're looking to improve your relationship with your wife, with your family, with your kids, with your coworkers, maybe you're on a business trip, with whatever the case may be. And there's so many facets to it and so many, you know, it's become a real passion of ours and something that that has been a lot of fun getting to know these people. And I think that the other side of it, you know, for us is the mentoring side where, you know, if you were to ask me about something, I could probably tell you 95% of anything any athlete's ever been through, I've been through it. And I understand being at the top, how to stay at the top, and all the rest of that. And more importantly, I think where family's concerned for a lot of these athletes and former athletes is when you have an injury, let's say, kid's 28, he's newly married, he's got two young kids, and he blows his knee out, or he gets a bad concussion and he's, you know, misses the rest of the year. And, you know, the wife, as we've come to know them and understand their travels, and, you know, when you're planning intimate trips and very thought out trips, you get to know people very well and you get to understand them. You see exactly how it affects the family. And I know when I was hurt, you know, everybody asks me, how are you doing? When are you coming back? How are you feeling? You know, it so often the family goes unchecked where how's the wife doing? How are the kids doing? How is home life? How is, you know, all that stuff? Because at the end of the day, that actually really does matter to the performance of the athlete or business person. And if that side of it is not right, then you're not going to get the most out of this person. And I know when we've spoken with agents, you know, that's a pretty important piece of the puzzle that a lot of them really do understand and they do get is that, you know, let's say, you know, Obes, you've been through injuries where you're hurt, you're going into your last year, your contract, you feel like you got one more good one left in you. You're going to sell out in the summer and, well, maybe not you, but you're going to sell out in the summer and you're going to, you know, maybe you're going to go over to Asia and you're going to, do some holistic healing treatments and flush your system of all the anti-inflammatories and things, you know, all the different drugs that we've got to take to to stay playing and stay in the game and flush your system so that you can come back healthy, strong, and prepared to really end your career on the right note, but get that last contract and be able to perform at that high level again that you know you can. And, you know, there's just so many different facets to our business and what we can and can't do. And, you know, it's very exciting.
What is the best trip, most inspiring trip you've taken?
You know,
because it's clear there's a passion and
too many to remember, eh, Prongs?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I mean, you know, I think for us, there's still, as we've gone through this and I'm finding more and more and more places of interest and places that I want to visit and learn about. And, you know, when you're playing, when you're, you know, I think today's generation of players is so much different than because of the internet and social media and everything that's out there. When I first started playing, man, all I got was a Hockey Digest once a week. And that's all I, you know, and you get the local news and you get, you know, the National on CBC and you get, you know, Hockey Night in Canada. But like, there wasn't really a whole lot for you to really know about the world other than looking on a globe or an atlas. You know, now you're able to see all these different cities and countries and really dig deep into what is there and what you can do and what you can learn about them. There's honestly, Josh, there's so many places that we've got planned to go visit and see to really get a feel for who would be a great fit for and it's, I mean, it runs the gamut. I mean, I got a list of 20 places I want to see, and that becomes the issue. Is just there's only so much time in the day, and there's only so much, you know, we've got older kids, but 18, 16, and 12 this summer, so they're getting ready to be out of the house, but they're not quite there. So we've got some stuff coming down the pipe in the next few years, but you know, for the foreseeable future, in the next year or two, we plan to stay fairly close to home and head over to Europe probably next summer. But you know, Greece is one that I'd love to see. I've been to Italy. I've been to Italy was spectacular. We did the Amalfi Coast, and it was remarkable.
Speaking of well-traveled people, this is last question, Chris, and thanks so much for coming on and spending so much time with us and our listeners. We really appreciate it. I just want to give a shout out. I'm reading Journeyman, written by friend of the podcast, Dan Murphy, about your brother, Sean. Very early in the book, so I don't have all the Chris Pronger stories yet from the book, but did he really ask you to end the 94-95 lockout?
Well, I don't know if I quite had that kind of pull back then. he was very in tuned into what was going on with the lockout, what was how it was playing out. He was in Knoxville, Tennessee, playing in the East Coast League. Then he was in Baltimore. Then he was in Vegas. He was kind of bouncing around the IHL a little bit, you know, waiting for the lockout to end so that he could sign somewhere, because he had a few teams that were interested in signing him. So he called and said and asked about the status and said if I could put in a good word. I said, "Oh yeah, I'll go call Mess and Gretz and get this done right now."
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. I know I had a blast on this. Obes, I'm sure you did too as well.
Yeah. Prongs, man, thank you very much. This was huge for us. I appreciate it. And just thanks for everything, my rookie year, buddy. You were huge for me. I love coming to the rink with you, and I tried to learn as much as I could from you, so I appreciate it. You made the game fun for me, and this was a blast, buddy. A lot of laughs, and I'm glad you're doing well and your family's doing well, and let's play some golf someday if we can here soon, once everything gets straight away.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Ob. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it. Always good chatting with you guys. We'll have to do it again. I still got a lot of good juicy nuggets tucked away.
I know you do. Ooh. We will for sure, Prongs. Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Obes, I'm pretty sure playing with him must have been just so great. That God, he just seems like a wealth of stories and such a personality.
Yeah, he was great, and like I said, he was intimidating at the same time. I mean, I remember, you know, coming to that training camp. I've been a pro for 3 years. You know, I felt like, you know, it was my job to lose, and my spot was there for me. And still coming in and seeing Prongs there the first day of training camp and skating with him, and you know, I was intimidated. You know, and then getting in the dressing room, making the team, and getting to know him, it was, you know, and then I just respected him, and he kind of respected the way I played the game, and you know, we really got to know each other, and then I just had a blast with him. It was a lot of fun. You know, when he practiced hard. He always got his workouts in. He was a true pro, and then at the time, you know, on the plane or in the hotel room or at dinner, he was having laughs with the boys. And that's the thing I respected a lot about him, is how hard he played. And you could see it from that podcast, Coop. Like, he's got a great sense of humor. He's a funny guy. He tells you how it is, and that's just Chris Pronger. Like, if you don't like him, you don't give a fuck. So he was great to me. Thanks for coming on, Prongs. We love you. And that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was absolutely amazing. Stories for days with him. So hopefully we can get him on again at some point. So please, if you really like that podcast, check out our comments section. It's at the Athletic app. And just tell us what you thought. I'm sure it was something good. So yeah, do that. And please do not forget to rate and subscribe to Point Breakaway on Apple. Click on the show URL, theathletic.com/pointbreakaway. You'll get 40% off your subscription to The Athletic. If you do go to Apple and subscribe, also please rate us 5 stars and give us an amazing comment, because this is a 5-star podcast. Right, Obes?
I love it, Coop. 5 stars, baby.
Every single podcast, 5 stars. So another great podcast to listen to. Former Bruin and current Blues assistant coach Mark Savard is joining the Perfection Pod. Those guys are getting some amazing guests. Oh my God. I think they had Ray Bourque recently with Joe McDonald and Fluto Shinzawa at The Athletic. Please listen to that. Tons of other great podcasts. This was a great show. Chris Pronger, thank you so much for coming on. You crushed it. I love listening to the stories. I don't want to ever be called Joshy. For anyone wondering, at the start of the show, apparently my kid is fine. He just has a bloody lip. That was what the crying was about. So he's all good. And Obi, stay safe out there, man. And hope your golf game is still improving through this coronavirus.
Yeah. So obviously, Chris Pronger, thanks again, buddy. That was great. I'm off to Bandon Dunes on Thursday for a bachelor party. My boy Scotty Upshaw, believe it or not, is having a baby girl in July. Still can't believe it, but we got 8 guys going. Matty Ryan, the quarterback of the Falcons, is taking care of the plane. I'm going to drink red wine. I'm going to smoke cigars, and I'm going to play lots of golf, Coop. So everyone stay safe out there. Coop, you and your family, and I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Play better than Peyton Manning or Tom Brady did last weekend.
We'll do, bud.